when it comes to understanding the Bible. There's a lot of different ideas. Perhaps you've been in a discussion with someone about the Bible, about a passage, about a particular doctrine. Perhaps they've said something to you along the lines of, well, that's just your understanding of the passage, and I've got mine. And who's to say who's right or who's wrong, so let's just get along. Or perhaps, maybe more common, you've been talking to someone and they have said something to you to the effect, well, that's just your interpretation of the verse. You've got your interpretation and I've got mine, and you know, there's no way to know who's right or who's wrong, so let's just let it be. Folks, is it possible for us to understand the Bible? I've talked to people who have said to my face, David, you and I will never see the Bible alike. Folks, I don't care if people ever see the Bible the way that I see it. But I think all of us need to strive to see the Bible the way God sees it. And as we begin to think about this question this morning, can we understand the Bible? The focus that I want to give to this question is not just can we understand the Bible, but the question is, can we understand it alike? Or should we even be concerned about understanding it alike? We have the Word of God in our hands, and yet somebody says, well, you have your understanding and I have mine. We have the inspired Word of God, and yet somebody says, well, that's just your interpretation, and I've got mine. Well, we'll never see the Bible alike. Folks, is that acceptable terminology? Is that acceptable wording to God? Are those acceptable concepts to God or not? Or is it possible that God wants us to see the Bible alike? Can we see it alike? Before we answer that question this morning, I want us to back up one step and just ask the question, can we understand it? There's so many people in the world say, well, you can't understand the Bible. There's no way you can understand what's in that book. So before we can understand it alike, can we even understand it? But before we ask the question, can we understand it, I want to ask the question, can you and I understand anything alike? Forget the Bible for just a minute. Forget the Word of God for just a moment. Is it possible that we as human beings, do we have the capacity to understand anything alike? Because if the answer to that question is no, then forget the Bible. If the answer to that question is no, then of course we can't understand the Bible alike if we can't understand anything alike. Is it possible that some of you picked up the Thursday paper? And inside the Thursday paper was this particular sales ad. Can you and I understand this sales ad alike? Suppose you were to go, while you're digesting this here, suppose you were to go to Sears. Mary, you still work at Sears? Suppose you were to go to Sears and you walk into Sears, you find Mary Quinn and you say, Mary, I'm here to get my sheets for $29.99. What do you suppose Mary's going to say to you? Wrong store. Do we understand alike that this is only for linens and things? You and I got that, right? That's not hard to understand. Suppose Mary says, oh, well, that's not this store. Suppose I were to say back to Mary if she's working that day, well, Mary, that's just your interpretation of this ad. That's just your understanding of what this ad says. And, you know, who's to say who's right and who's wrong? Maybe we're both right about it. Is that going to make sense? That doesn't make sense. Suppose I actually went to Linens and Things, but suppose I went on Tuesday, said I'm here to get my sheets for $29.99. What are they going to say? No, the sale was only good on Friday, Saturday, and say, oh, but that's just your interpretation of that. You know, let up a little bit. You and I look at a sales ad. Do we have any problems understanding this alike? We got it, don't we? We trust that Linens and Things is going to put out a good ad. We trust that the information they put out is going to be accurate. We trust our ability and our intellect to gather the information, to process it, and to understand it as simple as that is. We can understand that alike. Suppose that you were given a bag of Nestle's chocolate chips on the way out today. Remember the announcement that Ron made about needing cookies for the evangelism training for youth? Suppose we were trying to encourage you. We're not, by the way. We're not going to give you any chocolate chips, so don't get your hopes up. But suppose on the way out we had bags. It'd be a good idea next year, Josh, to give out bags of chocolate chips to say, here's the first and most important ingredient. Take it home, and if you'll look on the back, you've got the recipe. If you and I flipped that bag over and we all began making the same cookies, could we understand this recipe alike? Is it pretty self-explanatory? Is it pretty easy to understand? Suppose Shane Studer got the idea. Well, you know, I understand that this recipe is all good and everything, and I understand that the company who's making these things is putting this out, so maybe they've got a good idea of how to make it. But 2 cups of Nestle sweet, what's it called? Semi-sweet chocolate morsels. 2 cups of that? That just doesn't seem enough. Suppose Shane got the idea, everything else being equal, we'll leave all the other ingredients the same, but I'm going to put, let's just go with a round number. Let's put 12 cups of chocolate chips in this recipe. And Josh, when Shane brings in his cookies, when Shane brings in these, you imagine in your mind the mess that they are when they get here, and Shane presents them to Josh, says, here they are for the kids. What'd you do, Shane? Well, I just put some more in. What was so hard to under... Well, that was just your interpretation, Josh. You know, you got to have a little give and take on that. You really can't understand these things alike. That's a little complicated, you know, 2 cups. Folks, can we understand it alike? We understand hundreds of things alike. We understand things alike. I'm not talking advanced math here. I know we don't understand advanced math alike. Some of us may not even understand simple math. But do we understand simple math alike? If we were to ask, what's 2 plus 2? You think there's going to be any disagreement among us about what 2 plus 2 is? I mean, I know we've got a lot of engineers here who could probably explain 2 plus 2 better than I could explain 2 plus 2. But when we get to the end of it, are we still going to understand what 2 plus 2 is? Or are we going to have somebody who says, well, 2 plus 2 equals 4, that's just your understanding of it. You know, you got to bend a little bit. Maybe it could mean something else. Folks, there's thousands of things in this world that you and I understand alike. Do we understand that alike? I'm not asking, do we practice it alike, all right? It's a completely different sermon, okay? Do we understand it alike? Suppose you run one of these signs and you get a ticket. Suppose you go to court and you're standing before the judge and the judge says, you got a ticket for running a stop sign. Yes, sir. But didn't you know that that sign means stop? Well, that's some people's interpretation of what that sign means. That might be your understanding, but I've got a complete... He's going to throw you in jail just for being dumb. Do we understand things alike? Not asking them, do we practice them alike? Do we understand them alike? Folks, we could talk about millions of things that we understand alike. Why is it that we can understand all of these things that don't matter alike, and yet when it comes to the most important thing in this world, all of a sudden we say, oh, we can't get that one the same. Oh, that's just your idea. That's your understanding. That's your interpretation. I've got mine, and we're all okay because we really can't understand it alike. Is that okay? Can we understand anything alike? Yes, we can understand tons of things alike. Is it possible then for us to even understand the Bible? And we're not asking the question yet, can we understand it alike? Can we understand it? Is there any way for you to come to this book and to understand what it says? If you were to go back to the Old Testament, testimony of the Old Testament, if you were to go back and say, could they understand the Old Testament, all those rules, regulations, guidelines, and details of the Old Testament, could they understand those things? Nehemiah chapter 8, when Ezra stands up to read the book of the law, the Bible says in verse 2 that they were gathered there that day, men and women, and those who could understand. Even the children could understand the things that were being said. the Old Testament could be understood. When Jesus comes, does Jesus say that the Bible can be understood? If the Bible can't be understood, what right does he have to rebuke the Sadducees in Matthew 22? You know not the Scriptures. You don't understand what the Scriptures say. Wait a minute, Jesus, if we can't understand the Bible, what right do you have to rebuke somebody for not understanding it? Obviously, we do have the ability. When Jesus talked about the parable of the soils, one thing that set the good soil apart from the wayside and the stony and the thorny is what? That they were able to hear and to understand the word. Jesus said in John 7, if any man wills to do his will, the doctrine shall be made known unto him. Here's somebody who wants to do what God says, and Jesus says, it shall be made known. But wait, what if he can't understand it? It's obvious that he can understand, and that's what's going to be taught to him. Jesus says, it's these words that are going to judge us at the end of time. What kind of Savior would Jesus be if he said, here are the words that are going to judge you, but you can't understand them? Folks, we can understand the Bible. God's given us a book that is understandable. He's given us a brain by which we can understand it. The Old Testament says it's understandable. Jesus says it's understandable. Paul says that it's understandable. Timothy knew the Scriptures from a child. Even a child can understand. Jesus talked about not offending one of the little ones who believe in him. Even little ones can understand. When Paul wrote his letters, sometimes he would end the letter, like in Colossians chapter 4, saying, let this letter be read to the whole congregation. What good does it do to read it to the whole church if they can't understand it? What good does it do for him to tell the church at Colossae, go to Laodicea, get their letter and bring it over and read that one too if they can't understand it? Oh, they could understand. And you look in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians 3, Paul says, when you read, you'll be able to understand even what I understand. In that book of Ephesians had parts that were written to husbands. You know the hard time husbands have understanding things sometimes, don't you? Here was part of a Bible that's written to husbands. Obviously, they must be able to understand it. There were parts written to wives, and I'm not going to say anything about wives. There were parts written to children. Even the children could understand the part that said, children, honor your father and mother. Obey your parents and the Lord. There's a part of the Bible written to them. Obviously, they could understand it. There's parts written to slaves. Not only did they need to understand it, not only would they be able to understand it, Ephesians 5 and verse 17 says that they were commanded, they were expected to understand what the will of the Lord is. Can we understand the Bible? Folks, if we're honest with ourselves and if we're honest with Scripture, God has given us a book that not only can be understood, He's given us a book that can be understood alike. We've established the point that man can understand things alike. We've recognized that we can understand the Bible, and it's not just possible that the Bible can be understood, it is expected. God expects us to understand it. But what about this question of understanding it alike? Listen to this part, and then listen to how we might come to know this. If we come to this book, and if you and I understand the Bible at all, if you understand the Bible at all, if I understand the Bible at all, then we are going to understand it alike. That's the only way to understand the Bible, is to understand it alike. What do I mean by that? It is not possible for you and I to understand this differently. That terminology doesn't even make sense. How can you understand it and I understand it, but what we understand is different? That terminology doesn't work. Sometimes we'll come to a Bible verse. Sometimes somebody will come to a Bible verse that talks about salvation. And I thank God that while there might be some things in the Bible that are hard to understand. Not all things, or just some might be hard. But I thank God that when He talked about salvation, that's not hard to understand. When God talked about salvation and how to be saved, He made that part easy to understand. But how is it that two people can come to a verse that talks about salvation, and one person can say, this verse says that this is required to be saved. Somebody else can come along and say, no, that's not what that verse says. That verse does not say that that is required to be saved. One person says it is required. One person says it's not required. And then somebody comes along and says, oh, well, they just understand it differently. Folks, there's no such thing as understanding something differently. That verse either says that or it doesn't. But there's not understanding differently. In that case, there is misunderstanding. And perhaps that's the word we need to put into our vocabulary. Is it's not understanding a verse differently. If there are two views that are diabolically opposed to each other and contradict each other about what a verse says, folks, both of those views cannot be right. Both of those ideas cannot be right. At least one of them is wrong. Maybe both of them are wrong. But we need to start talking in terms that talk about misunderstanding a verse differently, not understanding differently. Because if we can come to the Bible and if we can understand the Bible at all, when you understand it and I understand it, then our understandings ought to be alike. Have you ever heard anybody talk about understanding math differently? Katie was in first grade last year. She was being taught and learning things about math in the first grade. I don't think I knew till high school. But she's being taught things in the first grade about math. Suppose the teacher, gives them a test. And on the test, she gives that great math question. 2 + 2 = Suppose when she gathers in the papers, that teacher begins grading them. She finds one paper that says 2 + 2 = 3. 2 + 2 = 4. And then on a third paper, 2 + 2 = 5. Oh, well, these kids, they just understand math differently today. They don't understand things the way we used to in the old days. Maybe I'll just let this one slide. Well, there's some people that, truth is relative to some people. 2 + 2, well, it could be 3 in some cases. And, well, if you really look at it funny, maybe it could be 5. Oh, I hate to tell these kids that they're wrong, so maybe I'll just let it go. Folks, I don't want my kid in that class. I want my kid to learn 2 + 2 is not anything else but 4. And I want a teacher that when it says 3 or 5 is going to say, no, that's not right. It's funny how we understand that in math. You don't have different understandings about simple mathematics. And yet when it comes to the inspired Word of God, truth is relative. The same God who made everything you see, the same God who made you, is the same God who made this book. When God inspired this book, do you think that God was up to the task to give us a book that was understandable by all? You think He could do it? And if we can't understand it alike, if we can't see it alike, whose fault is it? Is it our fault, or is it God's fault? If we cannot understand this book alike, then you come to the Bible and there's all sorts of things that don't make sense. If you and I can't understand the Bible alike, then there's absolutely no possibility for unity. If you've got your understanding, you've got your interpretation, I've got my understanding, and we're completely on opposite ends, there's no way for us to be united. And there's some people who say, well, that's okay. There's some people I don't want to be united with, so it's okay if we're not all united. Except for the fact that in John 17, that's exactly what Jesus prayed for. Is that all who believe in Him might be one, but if we cannot understand the Bible alike, then Jesus' prayer is an absolute impossibility. There's no way it can ever happen. Do you believe that's true? Do you believe that in the just hours before Jesus would be hung on a cross, that he's praying something that would never, ever be able to be a possibility because this would never be understood alike? That passage that Ken read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul pleaded with the brethren there to be united. Is there a verse that has any more strength and appeal to it than 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10? Paul says, I plead with you, my brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. But Paul, if we can't understand this book alike, you're just dreaming. Paul, if we can't understand this book alike, you're just wishful thinking. You're pie in the sky, buddy. You're just dreaming out there. We can't understand this alike, so how in the world would we ever speak the same thing? We speak all sorts of different things today. We teach all sorts of different doctrines today. The religious world's not joined together perfectly in the same mind and in the same judgment. So whose fault is it? Is it our fault? Or is it God's fault? If we can't understand this book alike, then either God was lacking in his desire to give us a book that could be understood, or he was just lacking in the ability to do it. See, either God could have done it. God, maybe he could have given us a book that could be understood alike, but decided not to. Wasn't willing to. Or perhaps he was willing to do it. He wanted to give us a book that could be understood alike, but in the end, he couldn't. He just didn't have the ability. If you believe that mankind today cannot understand this book alike, then those are your two options right there at the bottom. You got to pick one. If mankind cannot understand this, if this book is not understandable alike, then you need to either affirm God could not, didn't have the ability to give us something that's understandable, or he just decided not to. He didn't want to. And folks, neither one of those options makes sense. Neither one of those options match this book. And those options don't seem to make sense when this book says, I've got to understand it and obey it to be saved. And yet God gave me a book that says I've got to understand it to be saved, all the while knowing that I couldn't. If I can't understand this book, if I can't understand it, then the reality is there's no unity. The reality is that God's messed up somewhere. The reality is that the entire book is just a bunch of nonsense. You know, you begin to look at these verses, and we're not going to talk about all of them. But write these down and look at them later. And if the truth is that we can't understand the Bible alike, what sense do these verses make? What sense does it make for Jesus to say, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, all the while knowing that we would never understand the Word of God alike? What sense does it make for Paul to say in Romans chapter 16, to mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned? What sense does that verse make if we can't understand alike the doctrine that we have learned? How do we know if somebody's causing divisions and offenses contrary to it? Maybe that's just their understanding of it. That verse doesn't make sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33 doesn't make sense. That verse says, God's not the author of confusion. I don't know another word to use when I look at the religious world other than the idea of confusion. Teaching different things, practicing different things, and all the while saying, this book gives us the right to teach and to practice all of these different things. You know, the reality is, and not many people will recognize this, but the reality is that we do understand the Bible alike. You and your religious friends, the friends that you have, your neighbors, your co-workers, your family members that read this book, the reality is you do understand it alike. You begin reading passages like some of these. In Genesis chapter 2, when God told man that they could eat of every tree in the garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If they ate of that tree, the day they ate of it, they would surely die. Guess what? You and your religious friends understand that verse alike. We all understand what God's saying. Even Eve understood. In Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent comes to her, what does she do but repeat what God said? Oh no, we know that in the day that we eat of this tree, we will all die. God said it in chapter 2. Eve understood it in chapter 3. And you won't get in a conversation likely with a religious person, with a religious Bible reading person today who doesn't agree with that. Doesn't agree with you that God said the day they ate of that fruit, they would die. We agree on what that verse says. The reality is we already understand the Bible alike. We understand, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. We understand it, and we understand it alike. We understand the Bible when the Bible says that Jesus bore our sins on the cross. We understand Isaiah 53 when it says that God has laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. We understand alike the idea that surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken by God. We understand that alike. We understand alike verses like Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Why, God demonstrates His own love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's not a single one of us who deserved Christ to die for us. We understand Romans 5 alike. We understand 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. Faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we could put thousands, I believe, thousands of verses together where we understand the Bible alike. So when somebody comes along and says, well, that's just your understanding, that's your interpretation, it's not possible for man to understand the Bible alike. Hold the phone for just a minute. We do understand the Bible alike. We understand the Bible alike in thousands of instances. And the only time that we don't understand the Bible alike is when we get ourselves in the way. You see, we don't get in the way. We don't get in the way of Joshua 6. That's where the instructions for them to march around the city of Jericho that many times, that many days, they were to do this. We say, yeah, that's right. That's what they were supposed to do. That's what they did. We don't put ourselves in the way because that's what the Bible says. That's what they were supposed to do. Why do we put ourselves in the way of other verses then? Why all of a sudden do we not accept as readily some of these other verses where there might be some disagreement when we readily accept those other passages without interfering at all? Reason is that we want things to say it a certain way. We've heard people say things a certain way. And whatever our reason is, we interject our own will, our own desire, our own wants. And all of a sudden, we're in disagreement. Let me give you an example. Look in Mark 16:16. You want one of the simplest verses and simplest sentences in the Bible. You read some of Paul's writings, and Paul sometimes would start a sentence like in verse 1 and put a period down in verse 11, right? I mean, you've got a serious sentence there. You want a simple, easy sentence? Look at Mark 16:16. Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." If you want a verse where there's a lot of disagreement, if you want a verse, as one of my professors in school would say, where there's been a lot of ink that's been spilled, here's a verse. But folks, for the life of me, I can't figure out where the disagreement is. Jesus says, here's a person who will be saved. The person who believes and is baptized will be saved. People come to that verse and they say, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. That's not what Jesus meant. I would like to ask you, If you don't believe in Mark 16:16, if you don't believe that Jesus was putting believing and baptism on an equal plane, that little word "and" says they're equal. If you don't believe that they're on an equal plane, where both of them are equally required to obtain salvation, if you don't believe that Jesus is saying that somebody must be baptized before they're saved, just as much as he must believe before they're saved, if you don't believe that Jesus is saying that you've got to be baptized to be saved, then would you please reword the sentence so that Jesus would say that? If Jesus did want to say to those people, you need to be baptized to be saved, how would you rewrite the sentence to include that idea that they need to be baptized to be saved? Folks, you can't do it. You can't rewrite the sentence to make it mean what it already means. Baptism is already required in the verse to be saved. And yet some people come to the verse and they say baptism is required, and some other people come to the verse and say baptism's not required, and they say, oh, well, we just understand it differently. Folks, you can't understand it. You can misunderstand it differently, but you can't understand it differently. And I'm not putting this example, I'm not using this verse, and I'm trying my best not to talk in any kind of an arrogant tone at all. I'm trying to be as honest as I can. If we come to this verse, and if it doesn't mean that baptism is required for salvation, what does it mean? And if it's not required to be saved, why would Jesus even mention it in the verse? And if it was required, how would Jesus have said it different than what he said? And when you get to the end of that task, you're going to word the sentence in the very same way to say somebody needs to be baptized to be saved, which proves that Jesus was saying that someone who believes and is baptized is that person who will be saved. But you see, there is misunderstanding about that verse because man gets himself in the way of that verse. Folks, that verse is not any more difficult than any of these others, like Genesis 3 or Joshua 6 or Exodus 20. It's not any more difficult than any of the, it's one of the simplest sentences in the Bible. But yet we put ourselves in place and try to make it mean something other than what it means. Brethren, when you come to the Bible, we need to understand that this book can be understood. We need to have confidence. We need to have confidence when we come to this book. I can understand it. God has given me a book that is understandable. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you come to the Bible that you're going to find verses, you're going to find a book, I can understand it. The book is understandable. God has given me the intellect and the ability to gather this information, to process it, and to understand it. I can pick it up. I can read it. I can understand it. And then in the end, we need to recognize we can understand it alike. Let me give you just briefly, and we don't have time to talk about these. If you're taking notes, just jot them down and look at them in more detail later. Just some helps, some things that you and I can do, that all of us can do. Some things that you and I can do to help us to understand the Bible, and then in the end, to help us to understand it alike. Very quickly. Number one, we need to let go of all of our preconceived ideas and beliefs. I know that is extremely hard because we've all got them. But when you read Philippians chapter 3, it's exactly what Paul had to do. Paul says, all of those things I used to do, all of those things I used to believe, he says, I count them as loss. In fact, he says, I think it's the end of verse 7, where he says, I count them as rubbish. All of those things he used to believe and all those things he used to do in his former religion, gone. Why? So that he could believe and accept the truth. If we want to understand the Bible alike, we've got to take all of those ideas and beliefs that we have created, put them aside. Paul said he did it so that he could gain Christ. Number two, we need to let go of all the man-made doctrines that we have been taught. All of those things, all of those words that man has taught us, we need to let go of them. We let go of them because if we continue to hold on to them, Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, we make this book of absolutely none effect. You know, if I've got the Bible here, but over here, I'm holding on to what somebody else has told me. Jesus says, when you're holding on right here to what somebody else, you're holding on to their words, this book has absolutely no use. Has no effect at all. If we want to understand the Bible and understand it alike, we need to respect this book as the authority in religious matters. The only authority. Understanding that whatever I say and whatever I do, I've got to have the authority of Christ to do that. If I want to understand this book alike, then I need to recognize that I've got to have an open mind. I've got to have an honest heart when I come to it. Jesus said, seek and you shall find. I need to have that heart that is seeking. I need to have that heart that is saying, Lord, I want to know your will. Let it be known. Make it known to me somehow. An open and honest heart that just says, God, I just want to know what your word and what your will is. I need to have a love for truth. If we're going to understand it alike, I've got to have a love for truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10 says that's how we're saved. Love of truth will save us if that's how we'll come to this book. If we want to understand it alike, then we need to have not just a desire and want to understand it, but we need to have an expectation. When we come to this book, we're going to understand what this book says. Paul said to that church at Ephesus, he commanded them, understand what the will of the Lord is. And then if we're going to understand it alike, you and I need to have a desire, an unyielding desire to submit ourselves to the will of God. I started to choose some verses from Psalm 119 to put on here, and I had about 6 or 7 verses from there, and I thought, well, just forget it. Read the whole psalm. The whole thing, 176 verses, is the psalmist crying out to God and saying, God, I love your word. I submit myself to it. I don't want anything else but your word. I want to take your word and I want to write it upon my heart. I want to take your word and put it into my life so that all that I say and all that I do is guided by your word. Folks, if we can have that heart, boy, if we can have the heart of Psalm 119, we're going to understand the Bible alike. Last thing I want to suggest to you is that we need to study. That's why we don't understand the Bible alike. So we're not studying. You know, we're accepting what somebody else says. We're accepting something we've heard. We're accepting this. Folks, if we'll get into this book, not just read it, study it diligently. That's what 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says. That's the word it uses, diligently. If we'll study it diligently, and if we'll study it honestly, we can come to this book, we can look at the context. Who's writing it? Who's it being written to? What's being talked about in those verses that are around the verse that I'm looking at? What part of the Bible am I reading? Is it Old Testament, New Testament? Is it prophecy? Is it history? Is it figurative language? See, that's study that says, what am I reading? What can I learn about the passage that I'm reading? That's diligent. That's honest study. It's study that says I'm concerned about the context, and it's study that says when I come here, I am going to be as thorough as I possibly can in my study. If I'm studying a Bible topic, I want to gather all of the information in the Bible that is relevant to what I'm studying. If you haven't studied the purpose of baptism, we looked at Mark 16:16. If you haven't studied the purpose of baptism as it's described in the Bible, go to the Bible and gather all of the information that's relevant to that topic. You see, we've got to understand that all of truth may not be found in just one verse. Psalm 119, I believe, is verse 60, where the Bible says that the sum, S-U-M, the total, the entirety, the sum of thy word is truth. If I want to know truth, then I'm going to go and gather all of the truth on a matter. Not just some of it, S-O-M-E. I'm going to gather all of it, S-U-M-E, the sum of it. Then I'll have all that the Bible says about that topic. And then to use the word from 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, I need to handle aright the Word of God. I don't need to get myself in the way. I need to handle it accurately. I need to handle it properly. I need to handle it correctly, just as God has deemed for it to be handled. And if I come across some verse that seems difficult, folks, find that verse that's like it, that's plain and simple, and allow the plain passage to shed light upon that passage that's difficult. You see, we can understand the Bible alike if we'll just get ourselves out of the way and do serious and honest study. And believe it or not, it just takes common sense sometimes. Sometimes people come to the Bible and they forget to bring their common sense. When we looked at that sales ad at the beginning, it's just common sense that that's for linens and things, right? I mean, we don't need a whole sermon to figure that one out, right? I mean, it's just common sense that, well, you put 2 cups and not 12 cups of chocolate chips into these. That's just common sense. You don't put 12. That's common sense. We have common sense about everything in life. And all of a sudden, some people come to the Bible and they take their common sense and they put it in the drawer. Sometimes the Bible just makes sense if we'll come to it with our common sense that God gave to us, that He wants us to use. I hope that this lesson has been helpful to us. The Bible tells us that we're to be ready to give an answer, be ready to give a defense. Sometimes when we give an answer, sometimes when we give a defense, the response is, well, that's just your understanding. That's your interpretation. We'll never see the Bible alike. It's impossible to understand the Bible alike. Folks, it's not impossible. It can be done. And it is being done in thousands of areas, except for those areas where we interject our own will. And if we'll get our will out of the way and we'll put God's where it ought to be, we can understand what God wants us to do and we can understand it alike. I thank God again that His plan of salvation is understandable. That God has told us that we cannot be saved without faith. That God has told us that the very reason that He gave us this book is to create faith in our hearts. And that faith is that which will lead us to eternal life. But the Bible nowhere says that faith alone is going to save me. In fact, James chapter 2 says that faith alone is dead. If that's all that I have, I cannot be saved. The Bible says that I must repent. In order to be saved from my sins, I've got to turn away from those sins and say, God, I don't want to sin anymore. I want to serve You. And you can be saved this day just as they were in Bible times. You can confess the faith that's in your heart. And then this very day, you can be immersed in water. Not because I say so, not because the Church of Christ says so, because the Lord says so. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Peter said in Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. View this day with a penitent heart, believing that Jesus is God's Son. If you want to have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, you can be buried with Him today. Buried in water, buried into His death. Have your sins forgiven. God will add you to His church. He'll write your name in heaven. And you can be raised to walk a new life. A new life where you are serving Him faithfully. Serving Him faithfully until the day that you die. The song says, I'm going to let Him have His way with me. Will you let the Lord have His way with you today as together we stand and sing?